following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland brought to you by our friends at Central Barbecue. Slow-smoked Memphis style. You know, those words right there just say, they say everything. Slow-smoked Memphis style barbecue. Sure, there's a lot of places out there that claim they can do it, but not like you do here in Memphis, that's for sure. And certainly not the way you do it at Central. Those of you that live here and in and around the area know all about the three locations here in town where you can go and you can get the ribs and you get the pulled pork. They got the sandwiches. They got the coleslaw. They got the sauces, the spices. They got it all. Hell, they've got some potato chips that are just awesome. But here's the thing. Those of you that live outside of the area that hear me talking about like this type of stuff, you can get it. You certainly can. Just go to cbqmemphis.com. And look for their store. You can order it. They'll send it to you wherever you are in the United States of America. They will send you barbecue. I know it seems sort of silly. Honey, what'd you get? What are we having for dinner tonight? I'm having some Central Barbecue from Memphis. Well, how is that? There's a barbecue joint down the road. Why didn't you go there? Because they suck. That's why Central is the best. I promise you that. Take a look at them. CBQMemphis.com or look for their banner ad at our website at radio-memphis.com. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. This time out, we have a great guest in the studio. Jeff Janowitz spent some time with Big Lou Johnson. Big Lou is a voice actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He has also been, he's the image guy. He's the announcer, if you will, for SiriusXM's Blues Channel, BB King's channel, I think it was. Yeah, we'll talk about that here in just a bit, because you're going to learn an awful lot about what Big Lou can do. And it's not just the fact that he is a great speaker and a fantastic voice. He can sing, and you're going to hear some music from him, too, in this episode. It happened live on the air at radio-memphis.com. We've got it for you right now. It's our conversation with Mr. Big Lou Johnson.
It's starting to become a habit with you, Jeff.
What? I'm trying to crash your show. I miss being on the morning show.
You should just join the show. You should join the fun.
It's not that often that I can't hear myself. It's not. I unplugged it. It's not often that I get a couple days off from the day job to be able to come down here and hang with you.
Really. Well, yeah, I'm glad you did.
I'm glad I did too. Of course, this, as we've been discussing yesterday with Frank Rozak. This is a big week for Memphis.
Yes. The Blues Awards.
Blues Awards, which, by the way, you know, our friend Cedric won two of them.
I heard. Yes. Congrats.
He was
to Cedric.
Double fisting the statues on the way out yesterday.
And I saw Vic Wainwright also won two. So.
Which I've got a funny story about that, but we'll get to it.
Okay. All right.
Let me tell you this real quick. Yeah. Warm up to this. So twice last night, like, these people would walk up to me really timidly and be like, congratulations. And I'm like, congratulations for what? I didn't.
Did you win an award?
Well, I looked at it later. I thought they had to have mistaken me for Victor Wainwright. It's the only other guy that's about my size with a beard, and he won two awards last night. But I was like, congratulations for what?
Well, you won.
But no, BMAs are in town, and of course, with that comes the cream of the crop of the blues scene worldwide. And I had to bring one of my heroes down here.
Yes.
The imaging voice. You probably know our Blues and Blues audience would know him as the imaging voice for B.B. King's Bluesville. But he is a renaissance man. He's an actor. He's a performer.
Yes.
A true entertainer. I'm building him up.
He's looking around the room like, who the hell are you talking about?
But we've got Big Lou Johnson here in the studio with us, which is huge for me.
You want me to say something?
There's that voice.
Well, hey, Jeff, I'm glad to be here, baby. Thank you so much, man. It was really nice hanging with you, and I want to thank you and Avril and Rick for bringing me down here and supporting all the wonderful things that the Blues Foundation and I and we do. I love Memphis, man. This is so cool. Shit, it's making my nipples. Oh, can I say
that? You can say whatever the hell you want to say.
Well, it's so cool. Shit, it's making my nipples hard. What the hell? I love this place. Thanks so much for bringing me and having me.
Well, thanks for coming down.
You get to you get to Memphis much?
At least twice a year.
At least twice a year. You come in for the IBCs as well?
Yeah, IBCs and always the Blues Music Awards. Ever since me and Bill Wax from B.B. King's Bluesville, Bill had me come here in 2009, 2000. Don't I sound like I'm from the downside?
You do.
You do.
Yeah, you wouldn't know you're a Chicago boy.
Wait. But my mom was born in Houma, Louisiana.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So, and but at the same time, I was educated in Chicago. But my mom and my grand, you know, even Houma, Louisiana. So, you know, that's what I'm most comfortable doing. And I guess that's the voice that I have on Bluesville. But I find that ever since I've been coming down here, I was hosting. I used to be the host for 2 years
of the
Blues Music Awards.
Right.
And then I guess they got tired of seeing my ugly face, and they started replacing. They replaced me. Well, not replacing. They just change up every year.
Right.
But I did it twice, and ever since then, I've been coming down here every year.
That's great. Mm, yeah, we're real proud of the artists that we've seen come through here and across that stage. I mean, blues is hot right now, baby. God. It is hot.
Man, you should have been there last night. It was off the chain.
I tell you what,
musically, man.
Yeah. Who all played?
Man, so many folks. But I tell
Nick John Nemeth. He was out.
Brandon Santini kind of closed it out. They were on fire last night too.
Yeah, that was Brandon.
Mr. Sip.
Mr. Sip.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just three of them. You know. And he came out in the audience. He did some straight up gut bucket blues.
Moves in sync with the bass player.
And he won Best New Artist.
Yes.
Of course, you know. And I won Best New Artist for my debut album about 4 years ago. So I wanted to, like, you know, because that's my boy. I think we got the same management, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, and that was the only artist. And I know them all. You know, just about 80% of them. That's the only one that I had to go backstage and get in their pictures and give him hugs and love.
I see why.
Because he played it. I have an event every year that raises money for organizations that support blues music. And this, we had Big Lou's 4th annual Blues Hall of Fame tribute jam. And Mr. Sip was, I don't know if you want to call him the headliner, but he was the last one to come on just about, no, next to Dexter Allen,
who was also toured.
Yeah, who also tore up the house.
Yes.
You know? And they do this out of love, you know, just to support the organization. Man, and they just came in and ripped.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, it was hot. And I just appreciate being able to call cats like that, you know, buddies.
It's a homecoming, if you will.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
You may not see these guys maybe once or twice a year, but, you know, in a good, everybody's all dressed up. Everybody all cleaned up now, you know.
baby, it was cleaner than a board of hell last night.
Oh, yeah.
After Mr. Sip was done playing, like, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. I was getting chills, and I was just looking around like just wide-eyed in shock. It was like he dropped a grenade in the audience. And I was walking back, and I ran into Bill Wax, and he looked me in the eye, and I just said, holy shit.
Wasn't Bill Wax cute? Yeah. He had like this three-piece white zoot suit.
He looked like Cab Calloway in the Blues Brothers.
I said, hey, Bill, you're going to bust out and hide it, hide it, hide it.
But I just said, holy shit. And Bill goes, yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say. That's all I got. He goes, yeah, that about sums it up. And that's about all there is to it.
Well, speaking about Bill Wax, I owe a lot of what some people would consider my success, I guess, to him. You know, there used to be XM satellite.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there was Sirius.
Sirius, Exit 76 on the Sirius XM Highway.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was the Shamika Copeland show. I remember when you guys merged, when they merged.
Right. And I was the voice of XM.
That's right.
And Bill, you know, came in and they had a blues show on Sirius. And they had a guy who was doing that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, you know, we can't have two voices. So what we're going to do is I'm going to keep this Big Lou guy.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I didn't know Bill, you know, but every week, you know, what happens, I get scripts in the mail. I mean, email, and then I just knock them out. I've never I've been doing this now for Sirius or XM for 17 years.
Never set foot in the studios, did you?
I have never stepped foot in the studios. As a matter of fact, when I moved from from Chicago to L.A. recently, 3 years ago, me and the wife sold everything, and we got in my conversion van, and we just took 3 weeks just moving from Chicago to L.A. And whatever hotel or even in my van, if we slept in there sometime, I got my mobile rig,
you were doing it right there?
And I get my emails on my iPhone, and I read my scripts right there and record it, and if we was right on the road somewhere, I go to McDonald's and make sure they had a good Wi-Fi, and I just sent it, So I could do what I do from anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Radio business has changed just a little bit, hadn't it?
Oh, it is so awesome. So Bill, I guess, because he's a creative too, although he's a radio, and he is an encyclopedia when it comes to blues music and its artists. And he started putting my name on the radio. So, when the artist, the record would come up, you see the name of the artist. When you heard my voice,
it would say it on would the say, screen. Big yeah, Lou. I remember that.
Oh, that's good.
B-I-G-double-L-O-U, and then people would come on they were going, you the Big Lou. So people, I'm not just a voice. He's making me now synonymous
with sure.
the station. Right.
And putting a face to the whole sound. Yeah.
To the whole sound. And no one has ever done that. No one has ever done that for a voice.
Sure.
And that single act, and I guess I don't know if it was me, but I've always been a performer, right? So I've been a performer ever since I was a kid. And the voiceover thing came naturally because I was in Columbus. Anyway, long story short, I wanted to record a CD.
Yeah.
A blues CD. I've done gospel. I've done jazz. I want to record a blues CD. Who else am I going to ask for advice? Bill Wax,
right.
Bill Wax goes, well, Lou, you could sing. I heard you. You're pretty decent. But I said, who should I use? I think I want to use Billy Branch, in Chicago. He said he'll work out with me. I want to use it. I'm bringing all these name cats that I know from Chicago. He said, Lou, well, you could, but everybody knows them. How about you just get some cats like you that nobody know, performers, and you just put them on, and put them on your CD and let's see what happens. And so I went and got Chicago cats that, were playing with other cats that, who were really, really good, but they didn't have no name. So my agent in Chicago, my voiceover agent from Grossman Jack, from Grossman Jack Talent, she knew this guy who played Hob. His name Russ Green.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew everybody, so he produced my CD. And the next thing I know, after we recorded a week, we did a bunch of covers. I wrote one. They called me Big Lou,
right.
And that thing just took off. Bill started playing it, and he was playing 4 or 5 cuts from it, on Sirius, and boom, now I'm getting gigs, at festival. People asking me to host events and festivals.
How about that?
And all kind of crazy crap, and it was been good, so now we're working on the second one,
Wow.
And you did get to BMA now.
Yeah, and I got them, and I won a BMA.
Got the BMA.
And who was, dude, come on, a Blues Music Award?
Heck yeah.
That shit's,
Yeah, you don't think about that sort of thing.
No.
Look from where you started and where you wound up, and it's that path. It's so different,
And that's what Mr. Sip said last night. You don't think, because you don't do the work for the award.
Exactly.
But then when you do, it's a whole nother feeling. You get wow, they appreciate what I did.
Yeah,
and you just trying to be creative and put your stuff up, put a piece of you out there. You hope that the public loves it, but then when they say well, your stuff was so good, we're gonna give you,
that's huge.
Isn't that something?
Man, that's a great feeling. So now you get addicted because I want to do it again. And the problem comes in, you got to top what you did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You always got to one step
always gets
to. You got to top what you did. But now I got people writing songs for me.
Yeah.
I mean, people who have written for Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf. They cut, Lou, man, I got this cut for you, man. I think it'll be perfect.
Oh,
as a matter
of
fact, I've been going to Chicago doing demos back. I got one on my phone here, too. It is so hot.
Wow.
It hasn't been played yet.
Wow.
If you want to play it, you know,
we could probably
you'd
work.
You'd be excluded. You'd be the first person in the studio to play this demo from Big Lou's upcoming
album. I think that would fit right in there.
Called The Legend of Big Lou.
The Legend of Big Lou. That's the sophomore record.
The Legend of Big
Lou. You're recording this up in Chicago or you doing it in L.A.?
And that's the problem. Uh-oh. You know, I love my Chicago guys.
Yeah.
And Chicago, just like Memphis and just like everywhere else, they have their own musical feel.
That's right.
You cannot deny that. Although all the musicians are absolutely fabulous, and I love the musicians that I ran into in L.A., and I know quite a bit of them, they still are not Chicago.
That's right. Yeah.
It's like Memphis. There's something in the water.
It's in the water.
It's exactly. That Mississippi River water is what it is.
You know, and if you anybody from LA listen, they ain't dogging you out. And I've been to some of the great studios in LA and they'll say like, oh, Joe Blow recorded here, you know, we had to beat it.
Yeah, but it seems, and I don't mean to cause any disrespect for anybody in LA, but it's almost a sterility to it. You know?
You would think that with all of the creative minds and talent in L.A., that it would have a bigger, huge music scene.
You would think.
Music live scene there, but it is not.
Well, you know, the music industry moved to Nashville. All the labels moved to Nashville.
And Nashville is huge.
But they're moving back.
And again, not to dog out L.A., but you're talking about a town that's based on homogenizing all entertainment and making it available for everybody to like. It's not regional like a Memphis sound or a Chicago sound. You know, there's not an L.A. sound because L.A. is just this melting pot of different influences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taj Mahal has joined us with Victor Wainwright in the studio. Congratulations, fellas. It's so good to have you
here. That's right. I'm celebrating my 2 BMAs from last night. It's an amazing thing. If I could play the piano like Victor Wainwright, I swear.
You'd never be here.
Oh, man.
You'd be out on the road.
I'd just be in front of a piano all the time.
Last year at Brandon Santini's Bill Street Mess Around.
Oh, yeah.
I was there, and Brandon invited me up to play and sing, and Victor was on the keys. And we just, that stage had just, it was just too many big bodies up there, and he got the beating that damn keyboard.
Hey, he's aggressive.
Yes, I would hate it if that was a girl. And he did it. He got to beating that keyboard, man, and it was just an awesome sight to see. And it was all, and it sounded like sheer perfection. It wasn't like just a bunch of hazmat.
Right.
It was wonderful.
I wonder how many keyboards he goes through a year.
Yeah, I don't
Victor?
Know.
Yeah, I bet he beats the shit out of
him. Right, he beats him.
I've wondered that about Jeremy Powell. You know, the guy who was playing with Vince at your show at the Hard Rock. That party we went to, the Memphis Blues Society party, I was sitting right next to the keys watching Jeremy play, and he was doing this. His hands were a blur, like a kung fu movie, man. He's
Every
just hitting
time
notes.
Every time he's come into the studio, it's like that, too.
Yeah, he's amazing. I wish I could do that on the keys. I wish I could.
So this record, Lou, you're using Chicago Cats with you. Is it the same guys on the first album that are on this new one?
The guy who's producing the album, Russ Green, who played all the harp on the first one. He's produced 3 or 4 of the tunes already.
Yeah.
But then Derek Prosale, Terry Abramson, and Terry used to write for Muddy.
I've heard that name.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He was a young man, you know. Anyway, the first couple of trips I was going back, I got some different cats that I didn't even know, you know, but, you know, because they were just in town. And Russ put them together. No, that was the second time. The first time I cut 2 or 3 cuts, tracks from a band that was in town and I went to see. And I said, can you guys come up to the studio and record some stuff? I ain't got no money.
How many times have we heard that line?
I'm sure those guys had never heard it before.
I ain't got no money, but, you know.
But that works. So I'm still, like, putting stuff, you know, so like a lot of artists, you do a bunch of songs.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing, like, hopefully 20 songs.
Right.
And if I can get 12 good ones out of it, that's what I'm going to do. You know, so I couldn't even, the personnel right now is like, you know, and I just got some more. I'm going to be doing some stuff in California with a cat brother who I met on the legendary Rhythm and Blues cruise, who was playing keys for Bobby, he's dead now. Bobby, he had Alzheimer's. Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack, yeah.
Yeah, and what's the cat? Ooh, good Lord, I hate it. I had too much to drink last night. My mind's gone. Plus, I got the Alzheimer's. Anyway, it's going to be some good stuff. Some fabulous.
So you're basically recording in two spots then, Chicago and L.A.
And that was my problem. I don't want it to sound.
You don't want to sound broken up.
Right, but people are going like, Lou, today, digitally, you can do basically, you can make stuff sound, you know, long as there's a message and a cohesive sort of feel, with the songs, it'll be okay. They're trying to convince me that I can do that.
Yeah.
Chicago's going like, no, Lou, you got to record it all here. You know, we got to use all the same musicians. You know, and I'm going like, And that's what I was, that was in my head. But now I've been around every, oh, man. Joe Louis Walker came up to me yesterday, you know, Hall of Fame, Hey, Lou, I want to be on your next CD, man. I'm playing on it. I'm going like, man, I can't afford you. He said, what you talking about afford? Man, please, we boys. You know, so I'm going like, but you don't think about it. I don't think about people like that.
That you've opened up this door and came into this room, all these guys are coming to you going,
yeah. You know, and that's
huge.
I'm bowled over. And I don't even think I'm that good of a singer. You know,
apparently good enough. You're playing the Orpheum tonight, for God's sake.
Well, you know what I do? I am a performer for, because I've been performing ever since I was a kid. You remember Eddie Murphy in that movie, like, you know, when he was a little kid, you know, he'd go like, he'd be at the family party and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, seven, then they say, go on, dance, boy. And you start dancing and singing. And I was that kid.
You were,
you know, and I just never stopped, you know, even right now, you know, do something. You know. So, Jimmy Durante, it was one of my, believe it or not, I could not get enough of Jimmy Durante.
Really? Yeah.
You know, and so I learned from Jimmy Durante that you don't have to have a great voice. You just got to learn how to sell a song. I don't give a shit if you sound like a beast whale. As long as you can convey the message of that song and you can, somebody, when they see you, they can feel it and they can hear it, you know.
Yeah.
Then that's it.
That's what I do. You know, I try to, you know, sell a song. You know, and tell that story, and from cats like I just interviewed Doug McLeod yesterday.
Yeah.
And we were talking about selling. He's one of the best song sellers that I have ever met. Because to see him live, tell those stories, it's a fabulous feat, thing to witness.
So, when you were younger, what inspired you? What artist?
Oh, man.
I mean, I know there's probably a plethora and just jazz, gospel.
Come on, man. You know. I couldn't get enough of Isaac.
Oh, God,
I couldn't get enough of Isaac. I couldn't get it. And, you know, my voice changed when I was 13. So it's been like this, right, really, ever since I was
13. Woke up one morning and there it was,
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. You would think that you get a whole bunch of poo nanny, but, you know, I wasn't even thinking about that. But the girl's going like, hey, Lou, I'm going, hey, you want to go jump double dutch? Even in high school, you know, I fell in love with radio in high school, you know, so because I used to do high school news on WVON in Chicago, which was the first one, the biggest black-owned radio stations in the world.
Yeah.
WVON stood for, and still to this day is there, stands for Voice of the Negro. Let me tell you something, Lou, something you did not know. Guess who was the part owner there? I think he might have just sold a little bit of his share. Guess who owned that station? And he said, he told me this not a few years ago. His name was on the door, you know, but his real name, not his stage name. Bobby Rush.
Bobby Rush.
And Bobby Rush is a big mentor of mine. I mean, we're like Ace Coon Boom, you know, and he supports everything that I do.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, he told me that he and Kirby said, because we were one of the Hall of the Awards shows a few years ago, right before I recorded my CD. And he goes, and I asked him, I said, Bobby Rush, why the hell are you always putting your name in your songs? Like, Bobby Rush, you know? And he said, Lou, man, how in the hell you think people gonna remember who the hell you is? He said, the best thing you could do is write a song and put your name in it.
That's right.
And that's how They Call Me Big Lou came about.
And then nobody can ever cover it either.
That's like the best copyright in the world.
It is.
It really is.
You know, and so that's how everybody know Big Lou. Yeah. You know, because of Bobby Rush, he encouraged me to do that. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
What about Buddy Guy? There's a sound, huh?
Oh, please, Buddy Guy. How many awards did Buddy Guy win last night? Like 60 million?
Yeah.
It's like every time Buddy Guy, you know.
I think he's so over winning awards, so he doesn't do about a show for him.
Well, coming from Chicago, you know, and being in blues, you know, so me and Buddy, that's my guy too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of anytime he's in town, you go to Buddy Guy's club, yeah. He's right by the door, you know, greeting the folks. He's sitting down there. You can say hello, shake his hand, take a picture, whatever, da da da. And, you know, his boys, you know, Greg and them, they take good care of me when I come in there. And, he will perform, you know, in between sets if he feels like it, but he's a great guy. I would love to have Buddy Guy play on some of mine, but I can't even form my lips to ask people of that caliber. Like even the Joe, I would never ask a Joe Louis Walker to come. Would you play? You know, I don't even know how to form my lips to do that. But then when they come to me, so if Buddy Guy ever says to me,
yeah.
Hey, Lou, I got this song, or I want to play on your next thing. You know, like, I think I just have a heart attack. But, of course, you know, I make it happen. But, sure. You know.
Well, Lou, I would tell you, if you want to get those guys to put on your album, do what I would do.
What is that?
Get Avril to ask them for you. She's fearless. She's fearless.
The gentleman that you just said, his name,
Joe Louis Walker.
Yeah, I asked him his name like 15 times the other day at your event. Mm-hmm. He kept on looking at me like,
don't you know who I am?
Just go to my website. Yeah. I was like, but just I don't know. Just go to my website.
Joe Louis Walker, as a matter of fact, when we had the first Big Lou's Hall of Fame tribute jam at B.B. King's Bluesville, he got inducted, and I can't remember if he came and played or not, but he came and he had a great time. We had a ball.
And speaking of Chicago blues, John Lee Hooker. Did you ever see him much?
No, I only saw John Lee Hooker once, but I had no contact with him. But I loved his style of delivery.
Yeah, that style is just.
As a matter of fact, Doug McLeod gave me a song, and he said, "Lou, I want you to do this song. If you can do," he says, "try to imagine your voice and John Lee Hooker style, I want you to mail it to and see what you come up with." And I'm working on that right now.
Yeah.
He gave me the song with just a guitar. But, you know, I want to bring that Chicago thing to it, and I put a full band to it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're going to see what's going to happen with that.
What is the Chicago thing?
Oh, man.
Tell me what that is. Can you put that into words?
It's a groove, man, it's a groove and it's a feeling, you know. There are certain nuances when you play the guitar. As a matter of fact,
is it a pocket?
Yes. When I went up on the stage, and this time I just do naturally, and if you know Chicago music, this is interesting you say that. When I gave the direction in L.A. to a band, I don't know if they quite got it. But when I gave it to Memphis, which is closer to Chicago, to like Vince Johnson and the Plantation All-Stars, and they didn't know what I was going to do when I came up. And I said, well, I'm going to play my tune, you know, give me that Chicago pocket hit, you know, Chicago shuffle with that pocket hit. And I just went boom. And they went right into it.
They knew exactly
what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, so... It's that whole sort of thing, and it's like, you know, I wish I could put it in a better word.
No, but that's the best description I've ever heard. Yeah,
it's a pocket. It's a feel.
Memphis has a pocket too, but it's greasy.
It's different.
Very different. Yeah. But there are a little more closely related, as you said. You know, the further north you go, I mean, even the Kansas City blues scene is a little bit different. But then, of course, down south.
For instance, you know, of course, you know, they've been playing harmonica here forever. You know, but still. When you come to Chicago and you get a harmonica player from Chicago, you know, who's been doing the Jimmy Reed thing, and you know.
Little Walter, and
all that kind of, you know, all them cats coming from Chester.
Chicago, and like my
boy Russ, he grew up on them cats, you know. And even the good ones like, you know, Sugar Blue, who came from out east and stuff, you know, he got his influence. You get that Chicago pocket thing.
Yeah.
And I love like Kim Wilson. You know,
Kim Wilson.
And the same thing with Namath. You know, they're great players.
They're great,
but you can sometimes you can tell where their influences are from. You know, like I think we were talking about them on the radio. You can tell when somebody's been influenced by Cotton. You know,
exactly.
You know,
and
a couple of weeks ago, two, three weeks ago, we had Cash McCall down here, and he told us the stories about Willie Dixon and where. And
chess
when you
records,
in the chess yeah. record stuff, which is a fascinating story, when you hear him play, when you hear Cash play, you hear that Willie Dixon. You know, you hear so much. Hear. Of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, like, and for me, I grew up. You know, I forget being politically incorrect. Thank you.
Who cares?
Thank you, John Trump. You know, there was on Halsted and Roosevelt. That's the era we called Jewtown.
Yeah.
And now it's not politically correct to say that, you know, but that's where all the stores were owned by the Jews, and a lot of black folks worked there, but there was a vacant lot on the corner of 13th and Halsted, you know, and on weekends, you go down there and there was always some blues cats playing. And my first job at 12 years old was working in Jewtown because my brother hooked me up. He worked there. He was 2 years older, man. He got me a job down there, which is a half a block down. It was at Paul's Menswear. And that music would be playing.
Over there in the alley. Or in the vacant lot. Yeah.
And all the blues cats came down. I don't care, big, little, they just come back and play. And I was soaking that shit up. I just love it. You're supposed to be here like folding up pants. Boy, don't be down there and listen to no blues. You know, that's where I got my whole thing from. So I hear these voices, you know, and I just try to mimic these voices in that playing. You know, I don't know whether or not I got it, but that's where I get a lot of my feel from.
Obviously, you've got it if you've got all these guys wanting to be on your next record.
I don't hear it.
Yeah.
But that's
because I used to be an agent. I was an agent. I used to, here's a little tidbit. Halle Berry was one of my first clients, you know. So I was one of the first agents when she came to Chicago out of Ohio, you know. Whoa. Halle Berry, who was on my poster? Halle Berry, Queen Latifah, Joe Williams.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the one of the sax gods who I used to, because I played tenor sax in high school and I was in a band and all that kind of stuff. Stanley Turrentine, who was one of the jazz saxophone legends, you know. He was Ace Coonboom because I used to represent him. I got his first commercial for 7-Up, you know, playing the hall, you know. So I have a varied history, you know, when it comes to all that kind of stuff. But I would never, ever get off into that whole, you know, celebrity. I'm always just in awe of, you know, their creativity and what they've done, you know.
Well, now you know that you're creative yourself, though.
That's I don't get it.
You're too close to the joke.
You soaked it up, and it's just a part of you. So you it's just inherent.
I'm just
too close to the joke, and then it's, you know, as an entertainer myself, you go, well, that was good, that was funny, or that was horrible, but that's about it.
Right.
And when somebody says something to me on the outside, and they go, "Oh, I heard this, I heard that, and this was great." I'm like, "Okay, great, thanks. I appreciate it." I understand what you're saying.
But you don't know how to take a compliment.
No, I don't. No. I did learn one thing. It was Tony Bennett once said that never deny somebody their desire to pay you a compliment. No matter who it is. Never deny that opportunity.
That's why I kept accepting all those congratulations last night.
Yeah, you should.
So I'm dying to hear this track. Can we?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do
it. It's a world premiere debut.
Yeah, it hasn't been played on the radio. I don't know if I can. Can we do that? Play the stuff on the radio? Anything like, anyway,
it's your track. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
I didn't write it, though.
Oh.
I didn't write, but I got approval to play it, you know, because Terry, he wrote it for me.
Yeah.
And he said, "You can do it." He said, "I want you to. I want many people to hear this thing." That's why he wrote it to me, because, you know, we're going to.
So it's mastered and ready to go. It's a finished tune, right?
It's finished, but but you're going to love it. You ready? Play the damn thing.
Where's it at?
Derek, you gotta play on it. Your Facebook wrote, "Go big or go home. Do it, do it."
Who wrote that?
Derek.
Oh, is he listening?
I guess, I don't know.
Here you go, Derek.
Here you go.
From Terry and Derek.
Was I born with this thing? Hell, I don't know. Or did I learn it one night where the river flowed? But it's who I am, and it's here to stay, and it can make the devil drop. to his knees and pray. So leave me, baby, while you still got time. Oh, believe me, baby, it will strike you blind. But once you get under me, next time you will run to me, shining like the sun to me, dreaming what you've done to me, spending all your dough for me, curling every toe for me. Cause once you get under me, you'll never get over me. No, you'll never get over me. No, baby, no, you will. Like you can't put the ring back in the bell, can't return the genie to his kerosene cell. The door swung open and I passed through. I'm on ya, and I'm in ya, like a blood tattoo. Don't groove me, baby, but don't make no plans to remove me, baby. You ain't got no chance. Cause once you get under me, next time you will run to me, shining like the sun to me, dreaming what you've done to me, spending all your dough for me, curling every toe for me. Cause once you get under me, you'll never get over me. No, you'll never get over me. No, baby, no, you won't. I'm a force of nature, baby.
Never get over.
Yes, I am. Can you feel? So don't go believing I'm a one night stand. In the morning you believe in wearing my brand. Cause once you get under me, next time you will run to me, shining like a sun to me, dreaming what you've done to me, spending all your dough for me, curling every toe for me. Cause once you get under me, you'll never get over me. No, you'll never get over me. Oh, baby, no, you won't.
That's smoking, man.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, there's
go, Terry.
Big Lou.
Terry, baby, that's a hot track, eh?
It is hot. I love that sound.
Thank
man.
You so much. Yeah, yeah. And see, that's that Chicago shit. That's yeah. that Chicago yeah, pocket, baby.
But I gotta I gotta call bullshit, Big Lou.
What?
I gotta call you out, man.
On what, baby?
Oh God.
This is I can't sing. What the hell? That was phenomenal. Dude, that was great.
No. Thank you for that.
Your voice is
you know, lovely. No, you know, and this is my dog because he was at my party. You know, I am intimidated by mofos like Sugar Ray Ray. That's the singer.
I understand where you're coming from. It's undeniable.
Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah,
you know, I don't try to imitate them.
Well, no, but you're doing your own thing.
Yeah, I'm doing you.
But I am influenced by cats like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I hear Big Lou in that track. I don't hear Howlin' Wolf. Yeah. I don't hear those other people. I hear you.
Well, I appreciate you.
That's good. Thank you.
So I just try to bring whatever little juice I got, you know, and don't embarrass myself when I get in front of a microphone.
The old secret to show business, the $1 million secret, is do something and be something that nobody else has ever seen before.
But the writing.
Yeah. The writing, that's very well written.
Great song.
Yeah.
That's the writing.
Wait, and check this shit. One cat played all that except for, he had to say, can we get a guitar? Said, hell yeah, I can't afford no guitar player. Go get the guitar. So they went and got a guitar player to play that. The thing got Derek Purcell.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Derek Purcell played the keys. He played all that shit. And then we got a guitar player. Derek's wife came in, did the background. She did the most because she's a fabulous singer. And so, yeah, we did that. And like, yeah.
So it's like just three of you that knocked that out?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
Derek Procell and Terry Abramson.
Luke,
and, yeah, baby.
I gotta tell you, I have a show on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
My co-host, Dr. Consult, on Facebook is tuned in, and she says she's giving your song a stank face. That means, no, he did not.
No, he did not.
Tundria is sending so much love to you right now.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Tundria, yeah, she loves you, yeah.
Thank you. Hey, what's her name?
Tundria.
Hey, Tundra, baby, this is Big Lou. She's sending you out some love. That's double L-O-V, baby, from me to you. Thank you. That's
she
hot.
Just fainted.
Thank you. She's probably touching her pearls right now. Oh,
is that what the kids call these days?
That's really cool.
I'm so moist.
But I'm looking forward. You know, I'm looking forward to working with Derek, and you know, because I've never had anyone who would even thought enough of me to, you know, to put pen. Well,
you've got some talented cast working with you.
And so we got some more like that. You know, but this is going to be on, I think, the first release, and again, the album will be called. And as a matter of fact, what did I get the name for the album? I was at my boy's house in L.A., and my boy in L.A., he happens to be one of the top voiceover guys in L.A. He's a black guy in the Walking Dead video game, you know. His name is Dave Fanoy. We tight, you know.
Yeah.
So he had me at his crib doing the backyard jazz thing, you know. And,
yeah.
And so we sitting there doing what grown boys do, you know, they're talking shit and da-da-da. And he goes like, Lou, you know what? You need to do like you know, the legend of Big Lou. We like that. You need to like start writing songs about your whole because it's such a very thing
like
I have.
Yeah.
And I go like the legend of Big. That's the name of my album.
A great name.
Double L L E G E N D.
Yes,
the leg with two L's. You know, like yeah. So yeah. Thanks so much, Dave. I know I love you, bro. Anyway, so yeah, that's what we're gonna.
That's
gonna
great.
Name of the CD. Yeah.
Oh yeah. When are you looking to release it?
Now, I hate doing this thing, but, you know, like, I'm going to try and do everything I did. But I'm not doing it because I want to get in a war. But, you know, the last month you can release the third, like October.
Yeah.
So you can get into the Blues Music
Award.
Right, so I'm shooting for October. I thought I wanted to have, because I released it the last time on the Legendary Rhythm and Blues Cruise.
Yeah.
And everybody and their mama who's anybody is on the Blues Cruise. And I think that may have had something to do with it, you know, because, you know,
everybody got it.
You know, and I had posters plastered around the ship and all other kind of crazy stuff. You know, I love promoting, you know, so.
Timing is everything, too.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
You know, so that's what we're going to try to
now
do in October.
Your first record is available everywhere, right? It's iTunes and Amazon.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. You can download it everywhere. Yeah. iTunes, CD Baby, you know, Amazon, all that crap.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
yes, sir.
A radio guy, Boogie, from the Boogie Report. You know Boogie?
I know Boogie, yeah.
Boogie came up to me last night. He said, Lou, man, because I didn't recognize him. He said, I'm Boogie. I said, what's up, Boogie? And he goes, man, your cut. Your version, and this is slow. Your version of "Rock Me, Baby" is tearing up the airways in some place in Texas. I'm sorry, Boogie, I can't remember. But I'm going like, what do you mean? Like when it came, I go, no, man, it's number one right now. I'm going like, oh my God, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So you know, yeah. So it's still out. The stuff is still out there.
Isn't it funny? They're like children. You let them out into the world, and
you never know what's going to happen. And you know what? And I had no. And for other artists that are listening, if you can't afford PR, if you can't afford to go do, you know, so there are people. I had nothing. I knew nothing other than what you know. I knew them dope. You know, I didn't get no PR. I couldn't afford a PR guy. You know, because I did a commercial. I'm gonna tell you how this happened. I did a commercial.
Yeah.
It was for, I can't remember who it was for. It was on voice. It was on camera. So
yeah.
I made a ton of money off of it. Right?
Oh yeah.
And
I
dumped it all into the CD project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but getting it printed in the studios and the music, it was gone. And so I couldn't afford PR and all that kind of. So I just started doing my own PR and stuff. And so then it just happened. You know, so it just came. So I encourage everybody to learn as much as you can about the business, read as much as you can about the business, put your own stuff out there, and you never know where it's
right.
going to land, or who's going to hear it, and what's going to happen, and it will change your world. You know?
There could be that one guy or one lady that hears it and goes, I got to have that voice.
I like
but
that.
But you're also hitting the right thing, especially in the way the industry has changed now. You got to promote yourself.
You got to.
Nobody else is going to look out for you like you are.
But next time I'll be able to hire me some good PR folks. And yeah.
Are you playing out on the road much? Are you touring any?
I really don't do a lot. I do festivals.
Yeah.
You know, and
season's,
you know,
coming up.
And you really gotta go out there and do the club thing. You know.
Yeah.
But when Leo Burnett calls me, or when Disney calls me and they want me to put my voice to an anime, I can't go. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I'm in bumfuck Iowa. Yeah, ain't no ISDN studio, you know. So that
I've been there.
That kind of scares me.
They can't spell ISD and in bumfuck Iowa.
You know what? I who? And so that scares me. You know.
Yeah, you don't want to be too far from
I don't want to be too far from what I
from
do.
From the money-making machine.
From the money-making machine, you know. So I don't go out a whole lot.
Well, let me ask you this, Luke, because I know you've got something to go to tonight, and I was talking to your wife the other day about Miss Nietzsche's to see if we could get you, if you even have time to do this interview today. She said, this was Wednesday at the jam, she said, well, I don't know, Lou's going to be at the hotel room doing lines that afternoon. I said, whoa, you just put that out on Front Street. Like, Lou's going to be at the hotel room doing lines. She said, No. She's in a
not
play.
Lines
oh,
with
you mean like lines with cocaine? Like, she just put that out there. Like, Lou ain't got time for your shit. He's going to be in the hotel room doing some blow.
You know, from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, he's cutting lines.
Not those kind of lines.
No. So,
lines for the play.
So what is this play you're doing tonight?
You know, let me tell you who's in this play. We got Stacey Brooks. She's going to be portraying Etta James. And we got Biscuit Miller from Biscuit Miller in the Mix. And he's going to, I forgot who he's going to be doing. And we got Mud Morganfield, Muddy Waters' son. Of course, he's going to be doing his daddy.
Oh,
and we got some other folks doing Howlin' Wolf. And those, anyway, and apparently, this play has been going around the country for a little bit,
right?
And I knew nothing about it. But Biscuit Miller and all of them, they all know me, right?
Right.
So, because me and Biscuit won an award the same year, same time. And they had a narrator in certain cities. And so they said, well, if you're going to get a voice, you might as well, if you can need somebody to talk about the play during the play. We know Big Lou. He got the biggest voice in blues.
Yeah. Who you talking about?
You know, so I'm going like, wow. We ask him.
Yeah.
So they called and asked me, you know, I said, when is it? They said, well, we coming to Memphis and we're going to go to office. Can you send me a script? And I'm going like, well, we ain't got no script like that. And so the guy, he called my agent and he told me what's going on. And what happens is they're going to take you through blues history and do all these other kind of things. And I'm going to, like, be the person that's going to be weaving you from one genre to the next.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. So, and of course, you got these primo performers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who's doing it. And they're not, like, really, like, you know, they ain't going to be having a whole. It's more like a concert/play kind of thing.
So you learn a little something about who these people were.
Yes.
And then hear their music.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Ghost of the Blues, and it's happening tonight at 7 o'clock at the Orpheum. Go to the Orpheum in Memphis. I don't know what their website is, and get some tickets and come on.
I'm looking around. It's orpheum-memphis.com.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if tickets are available. Yes.
Yeah, of course tickets are available.
Let's get that information.
Get some tickets.
If they ain't available, go rush in there anyway.
Just go on in there.
Go on, yeah.
Just hang around the bar there in the lobby and then
It's going to be a fun time.
Yes, tickets are available right now for our listeners on the free. If you're sitting in the office right now trying to figure out what you're going to do on a Friday night.
There you go.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
To the Orpheum, man. It's going to be well worth seeing it. It'll be a great show, and I tell you, you don't know who might be in the audience, too.
There's a lot of
folks in town this week. So.
Well, listen, like, for instance, there's a cat that I ran into here in Memphis. Somebody hooked me up and said, like, look, I need some help with my jam. Somebody said, call this guy, you know, and I called this cat, and this cat didn't know me from Adam. But he opened his Memphis door for me, man, and we had the biggest party. You know, you was there, and it was because new sponsor I got. He was hopefully gonna be one of my best new friends. And you never can tell where your next blessing gonna come from, but you gotta be able to have your palms open. You know what I'm saying? You can't get a blessing with your hands and palms closed. You gotta have your palms open, your mind open, and your heart open, and then you know you can probably have your world changed.
That's some great advice.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Yeah. Closed heart, a closed mind, baby, you'll have a closed life.
Well, there you go.
I like that. I should put that shit on a t-shirt.
Yeah,
right?
That's beautiful.
At least on the back of the CD.
There you go. Or, you know what? That might be a song lyric right there.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
That's yep, where you yep, go. Yep.
Those ideas come in and boom.
Shuck-a-duck it was. Crack, crack. Yeah.
Big Lou, thank you so much.
No, man, this has been so much fun.
It's been an honor to have you down here.
Thank you.
I want to be a radio DJ, you know, I did, but I think, you know, every time I come here, because I got my degree in broadcast communications from Columbia and Chicago, and it just didn't happen like that. I want to be you. So tell me about you. You sing and stuff too? What you do? You're an artist.
I sit here and run my mouth and drink coffee.
You did radio. You've been doing radio.
I've been in this business for 30 years.
Oh, see.
That's all I know how to do.
He used to be a TV anchor, and he's done some acting. He's being modest.
Yeah, before the facial hair and the ponytail. Yeah, I was the guy that did the 6 and 10 o'clock news.
You lie. You did 6 and 10 o'clock news?
I sure
did. Why are you not still doing it? You got burnt out, or what happened, man?
The industry. Well, and it's all scripted, and I'm an improv guy, man. They didn't like which direction I was going to tell the news. So here I get that chance to really do that, you know.
You see, we're just the opposite. It's not that I need one, but I love when I become dependent on a script.
When I do voiceover work, I like to have it because I'm working for them. You know, they're just hiring the voice. But when I'm sitting here doing my thing, I don't script it. No, it's too dangerous.
I curse too much just to be like, you know.
That's the beauty of it. You know, yeah. And corporate radio has really got issues.
It's funky, isn't it? I saw that change. You know, I was in Chicago. I was intern for at the time when he first came to Chicago, and he worked at WJBC, Tom Joyner.
Yeah.
And you didn't think that, you know, if I had known that Tom Joyner was going to turn into Tom Joyner, I would have stuck to that motherfucker like right on right.
I know. Yeah. It's a machine that he's created.
You hear me? And all of that stuff originated, that syndicated, you know, Marv Dyson took Tom and Doug Banks, who recently passed. As a matter of fact, Doug Banks, when he forgot his first club, he came and he was paying a bunch of money. He got a little jazz club in my town. The agency, we used to book his club for acts and stuff like that. But yeah, Chicago was that place that made those big radio stars. And now
Oprah came through there.
Oprah.
Yeah, that look what career that came out of.
Dude, you know? Wait.
She's out of career. It's an empire.
Well Kosciuszko, Mississippi is where she's from, you know.
But here's my Oprah tidbit. All of her TV shows, like There Are No Women of Brewster Plays, There Are No Children Here, that was done in Chicago, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I used to cast all the extras and stuff.
Did you really?
Yeah. So all those background people, you know, they used to come through my agency and stuff. Yeah. And I even put myself on there a few times.
So you could say you've worked with Oprah. Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
that's right. Put that on the resume.
My wife wanted to go to a taping one day. It was years ago before she left. And so I said, I think I can, you know, hook it up. So we went and did it. We went and I was in the audience. You know, we was in the, and she said, "Hey, Lou, how you doing?" I'm like, "She remembers me." So I'm going like, "Well, let's move to L.A. Let's hope maybe she'll remember me, you know."
Yeah. Something will happen. Some of that Oprah magic might rub right off on you.
I'm open to it.
You just got to get through her network of bodyguards.
That's it. But there's probably fewer in L.A. than there is in Chicago, baby. They had it tight.
Well, before you leave town, give us Halle Berry's number. We need to talk to her at some point. She's.
Wait. I talked to Halle Berry's mama more than I talked to Halle Berry.
Really? Is her mama her manager?
Back in the time, because she was, you know, she was pretty busy when she first came to Chicago. I said, I'm looking for Halle. Where's she at? Well, Halle's over there. Because that was one of those stories where, you know, when I think the first movie she did, she played a crackhead.
Yeah.
You know, and after she played that crackhead in that movie with the with that man, Snakes on the Plane, they were
Samuel L. Jackson.
Her world changed, you know, and she just blew the hell up. And she left Chicago, and you know, and the next time she came back, she was starring in a movie with Jessica Lange. You know, and I'm going, and it was, and I was out of it by then, you know.
I think the first thing I ever saw her in was The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I remember, was it Monsters Ball with.
No, that's when she, that was.
When yeah, she, that when she got when, the Oscar.
Yeah. She got the Oscar for that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about that. You know, she had to, like, you know, sleep with that man to get the
Oscar.
She was doing it in that movie, man. I was going like, and one thing I could say, wait, don't, I've never messed with any of my talent. except the one I married, Nitra Johnson. And she used to do voiceovers. She'd do it every now and then, but I represented her, and that's how we hooked up. She would come to my office, and she would try to do voiceover, and I got a couple of gigs, and we became best friends, and now we've been married now for, like, God, I forgot how many years, but, you know.
Well, congratulations.
She's a wonderful lady, too. Yeah, yeah. The work.
Yeah, but we've been together now probably about 20 years.
The work the two of you put into the Hall of Fame jam. Thank you. You think I should be on the radio. The work you guys put into that, I saw how much work, and just the two of you put that together.
Yeah, just the two.
A lot of work.
Well, Stacy. So
I know you got to help, but you guys.
It's just me and her out of our place in L.A. And, you know, we're making the calls and putting the, you know, hoping that we're out of time, we get there. But I need a staff now, you know.
Yeah, you do.
Well, next year, though, I think we're going to go to someplace better and bigger. I can't say yet.
Right.
Because ain't nothing in writing. But, baby.
So while you're in town, take a look.
Lord willing, you know, when the creek don't rise.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be off the mizzen chain next year, baby.
That's right. That's what we want.
I will be there.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
I will be there. Yes. Yeah, that'll be good.
Thank you.
Big Lou, thank you, my friend.
That's double L. Wait. You should play They Call Me Big Lou before I go off.
I don't have it. You've never sent it to me.
I got it right here.
You want to play it?
Yeah. I keep all my music because I might have to do a track.
But just you know, while we Lou's get that cue track, it's loujohnson.com if you want to find out what's going on with Big Lou.
That's double L.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't spell it like you think you would.
It's spell it as if you just met him and you're scared of the man.
Lou?
Like Spanish people come to me and they say,
you? And, that's right. Big Lou was telling me this on the way down here. I didn't realize he was in that the George Lucas movie, Strange Magic.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of the voices in that. Yeah,
That was a blessing because what happened was the casting director for that movie.
Yeah.
She had a demo of mine. She says, somebody sent me your demo. I don't know who it was, but I kept this demo for years. George Lucas was looking for a particular type of voice.
Yeah.
I played your demo for George Lucas, and George Lucas picked your demo, and I'm on the phone now calling your agent because he wants you. So they called me. I didn't have to audition.
Really?
They called me.
They just fast-tracked you right into wardrobe, didn't they?
No.
It
was his last animated, last project he worked on.
Before he sold
it to Disney. And they had worked on it for years. I worked on it for like a year and a half, 2 years doing the voiceover stuff. They flew people to Chicago to record me. I'm flabbergasted. I'm going like, so anyway, it didn't do big numbers. I don't know why it didn't do a number. I guess it was the last thing he did.
Well, I know he put it out independently. He didn't go through the studio.
It was a beautifully, beautifully, wonderfully, what beautiful film to watch. And it was a musical.
Yeah.
Because I sang a crazy little thing called Love, and I was a big fat elf.
Yeah.
And it was just a great thing to be able, you know, be picked by George Lucas.
And that's how
huge. Yeah. And then that's how I got to L.A. So one time for my L.A. Anyway. So if y'all want to hear 300 pounds, you know.
Please, sir.
The one that made Big Lou.
This is the song that made you famous, huh?
BMA award-winning best debut artist.
You know, they played that song when I went. I had my family there. You hear They Call Me Big Lou, and you go get your award. That's so cute.
And the man is a showman. I saw him perform it the other night. He dances, he moves.
Me and Sugar Ray was up there. I was that damn stage was going to fall. That was
a lot of man on that stage.
Wait a minute. No, you didn't say that. You know why? You know another song that Derek wrote for me? Derek and Terry? A Lot of Man.
A Lot of Man.
A Lot of Man.
Yeah. That's the name of the track is A Lot of Man. Because you got to add some fat if you want to taste the ham, baby. So, baby, ease on down. Grab these handles.
Beautiful.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me do this, man.
You do it.
All right, here's from the debut track, They Call Me Big Lou, from the same TV with the name, same album. No, see, I get tongue-tied sometimes.
It happens. Don't worry about it.
Here's the title track from Big Lou's debut Blues Music Award album, They Call Me Big Lou, right here on Radio Memphis.
What'd you do, Lou?
You know what I did?
That was to go check
that was 300 pounds of heavenly joy.
Oh, I got you.
And you hear that? Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Who did 300 pounds? That was it's queuing up. That was a Howlin' Wolf.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We put a Chicago funk on that, baby. You heard?
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
A little taste.
Yeah, a little taste. But you don't want to hear that. You want to hear 300 pounds. Yeah. That was a great. That was a fun.
Oh yeah.
That was a fun track to do. But here's Big Lou's. They call me Big Lou. That's LLOU. I weigh 300 pounds. Well, they call me Big Lou, 'cause I weigh 300 pounds. I can stick and I can move and I can really throw it down. I can turn you on if you let me take you home. I can turn you on if you let me take you home. Treat you like a queen and never do you wrong. Don't let me scare you, baby. Big Lou's really sweet. I might be heavy standing, but I'm light between the sheets. They call me Big Lou, 'cause I weigh 300 pounds. I can stick and I can move and I can really throw it down. Twisted baby, don't wanna be your main. But when you need good love and give you much as you can stand, they call me Big Lou, 'cause I weigh 300 pounds. I can stick and I can move and I can really throw it down. I know you hear me, baby, on your radio. But when I whisper in your ears, you're mine for sure. They call me Big Lou, 'cause I weigh 300 pounds. I can stick and I can move and I can really throw it down. Yeah, baby, check it. And that's what they call me. Big Lou, yeah. That's that, baby. Big Lou. Big Lou, they call me Big Lou. That's it, baby. Big Lou, that's double LOU. I can turn you on. Baby, just let me take you home.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
And it's no different than any of the other stories that have been done already. These are just reboots. This is one of the reasons why I think J.J. Abrams should be kicked out of California. Or wherever it is that he's making this tripe. He's a horrible director.
Oh, Rick, you can't say that. Oh, man, Star Wars was great.
Star Wars... The episode 7, the latest one that came out, was dog shit. It was horrible. There are shows there that exist on your YouTube channels that have, you know, millions of viewers and subscribers. And I've seen these, but my first question is, who the fuck are you? And after you've seen one of the videos, you go, that's it? That's all you got? This is why all of these people are following you. The vapidness of the fans that follow this, fascinating.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
If you're looking for something unusual, a cool gift shop to consider is our friends at Wizards on Madison Avenue here in Memphis, 1999 Madison. 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They've got cool stuff. They really do. They've got some really cool shirts. The Memphis as Fuck shirts are there. You can get you those. They have some pretty cool hats. They've got some signs. It's a novelty shop. Of course it is. It's an adults theme section, too. It's an alternative smoke shop that's been around a long, long time, and they're great people. And yes, you can buy confidently online if you'd like to. Look for wizardsmemphis.com, and you can get in there. How about that? Or look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com and get in on the fun at Wizards. All right, kids, you've heard what's coming up next time. I'm done. I'm out of here. Y'all be sweet. Well, our thanks to Big Lou and to Jeff Janovitz for making this thing happen. It was a lot of fun. Had a great time chatting with Lou. I'm sure we'll be seeing more of him when he comes back into town. He's just a great guy and just a whole lot of fun. As a reminder, the show is now available in the Google Play Store. If you have an Android device or if you like their products and that's where you get all of your music and stuff, you can now get this podcast in their Play Store. All you have to do is find it, search for the show, Rick Cheddar from Radioland. You can have it right into your device and take me wherever you go. Or whatever. So enjoy it. And tell everybody you know about it. You want to drop us a line? That'd be sweet. Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. Also, if you would, please, rate the show, wherever it is that you, like iTunes or whatever. Give us the stars and say something nice, if you would. Please. If you like the show. If you don't like the show, don't do it. Or just say this show sucks. 1 star. I wouldn't listen to it. Whatever you want to do, I'd appreciate it. And if you do like it, please share it with your friends. I'd really do appreciate it. It's what helps keep this thing going. It makes the sponsors happy. It makes Central happy. It makes Wizards happy. It makes me happy. Just do it. Do it because Rick needs the help. I'm done. I'm out of here. We'll see you next time. Y'all take care of one another and take care of yourselves, and we'll see you then. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.